Jesus moved about within Galilee. He did not wish to travel in Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him. But the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near. When his brothers had gone up to the feast, he himself also went up, not openly, but as it were in secret. Some of the inhabitants of Jerusalem said, "Is he not the one they are trying to kill? And look, he is speaking openly and they say nothing to him." So the authorities have realized that he is the Christ. We know where he is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from. Jesus cried out in the temple area as he was teaching and said, "You know me, and also know where I am from. Yet I did not come on my own. But the one who sent me, whom you do not know, is true. I know him, because I am from him, and he sent me." So they tried to arrest him. But no one laid a hand upon him, because his hour had not yet come. The Gospel of the Lord. In homiletics, or the art of preaching, the church gives us a very wide variety in what we can preach on. We can preach on the first reading, the psalm, the gospel, the saint of the day. But also we can preach on the beautiful prayers in the Mass. So over the past year, now and then I'll take something from one of the prayers of the Mass and develop my homily on that, and that I'll do today. So I'd like to take one short phrase of what you heard in the opening prayer that we'll experience the healing effect of God in our lives. Let's talk about that. The healing effects of God in our lives. We have to come to the humble, truthful awareness that we are all sick. Not only physically, we've been through a lot of sicknesses the past couple months, but also we're sick morally and spiritually. So I'd like to give you five ways that we can undergo a healing process. And I hope that you'll be able to use these tools the rest of your life. Because the healing is a slow process. And once we're healed of one infirmity, there's another one that pops up. So let's go. There's a wonderful proverb in Spanish, which I like to say in Spanish and in English. Let me see. No hay un tío ciego que tal que no quiere ver, no hay un tío sordo que tal que no quiere oír. ¿Me oyeron? Okay, it's a good proverb. And I'll translate it to you if you'd like. Hopefully you guys can translate it. There's no worse blind person than the blind person who doesn't want to see. There's no worse deaf person than the deaf person who does not want to see hear. Where am I heading with this? Unless we admit that we're sick, we're never going to be healed. In other words, there's many people who live in denial. The practical case is the alcoholic. You all know alcoholics in family member or friend that is an alcoholic, but he doesn't admit it. You tell me, how on earth is he going to be healed if he doesn't admit it? Never going to be healed. Say, well, I'll give up drinking, after Good Friday. I'll give up drinking after Easter. I'll give up drinking after Mercy Sunday. I'll give up drinking after Mother's Day. I'll give up drinking after Father's Day. I'll give up drinking after the 4th of July. 4th of July. And he only gives it up when he drops dead. Then it's too late, right? So we have to admit, we are morally sick. But Jesus came to heal us. Jesus came to heal us. He is the wounded healer. And either we are wounded wounders or wounded healers. We should bring our wounds to Christ, that by his wounds we will be healed, as we hear in the prophet Isaiah. By the way, St. Peter quotes that also. That his wounds were healed. Okay, second is this. Is that drawing close to Jesus, Jesus never wounds us, but he healed us. Draw close to Christ. Maybe these words can be an encouragement. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Possibly my favorite biblical book. Come to me, all of you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am meek and humble of heart. For you will find rest to your soul, because my yoke is easy. You know it. And my burden is light. Through the gospel. When people come to Jesus with faith, have their faith, we heal. And usually, instantaneously. There are some passages where Jesus says that his sight comes back gradually. He's got to wash the mud from his eyes, and he's not able to see right away. But 99% of the time, when Jesus heals, it's like this. Why? Faith, trust, confidence. So we draw close to Christ, he heals us. There's a case of a man that was sick, and he went to Lourdes. And he was, one of his friends was an atheist, was a doctor. He stopped at Lourdes. The man went to Lourdes, and he had this physical ailment. When he came back, he had the same physical ailment. And his friend started to scoff at him and see, why God doesn't heal. The man said, he didn't heal my body, but he did heal my soul. So God will not always heal our body. But if our soul is sick, he'll heal us under one condition, that we have to ask Jesus to heal us. Jesus is not going to heal you if you don't want to be healed. Jesus is, as it's saying in Spanish, un caballero. You know what un caballero is? In English, he's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself upon us. He respects our freedom. He's un caballero. He's a gentleman. If we draw close to him, he embraces us. If we reject him, look, this is what he does. He backs off. If you reject him, he recoils. But if you open up your arms to him, he'll embrace you. How great is our God? I love the divine pedigree, the divine wisdom. How great God is. he's a Catholic? Not so much. What if his grandfather was a Catholic? Huh? And that brings me to the third point. How great God is that he's given us the Catholic Church, and he's given us the sacraments, and the sacraments are divided into three categories, which are initiation, service, and healing. Yes? Can you name them? Initiation, baptism, communion, confirmation, service, priesthood, married life, healing, anointing of the sick, and confession. What is the specific effect of communion? Nourishment.
Right.
What is the specific effect of confession? Healing. You make a good confession, you leave the confessional healed. And the depth of your healing depends upon a lot of factors. It depends upon the depth of your repenting and your willingness to give up your sin. You can be healed as much as you want. And I think a lot of people never overcome their past sins because their repentance is not profound. There's maybe hidden lurking to some of our sins. What does the Bible say? The dog goes back to his vomit. Pretty ugly, huh? The sow, which means the female pig, wallows in his mire. Yeah. You know those are biblical passages? Pretty graphic, huh? I don't think any of you have on your wall a dog licking his vomit in your kitchen or in your bedroom. Or a pig wallowing in his mouth. Do you have that in your home? Probably not. Might not be a bad idea to help us to keep away from sin, huh? Maybe give that as a birthday present one of your things, huh? And be facetious now, you know? But these are biblical passages that are pretty strong, huh? To see what's here. Okay. Going against now modern pop psychology, if I can use that lingo, modern pop psychology believes that when you're depressed and you're sad, you have to fill yourself with things, with eating and drinking and a whiskey and go and buy things, okay? And that's going to satisfy your inner loneliness. It's the exact opposite. You end up even more sad. Do you want to heal? Do you want to be healed of your moral sickness? Sometime today, go to a nursing home or hospital or a residential home and sit next to a lady or man who's 99 years old. And her hair is disheveled. She's overweight. She's got bad breath, smells of urine, you know what I'm talking about, and she's got Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. You sit next to her for half an hour and listen to her to tell the same story 15 times. And you smile the whole time. That's hard. Any nurses or medical people here? That's hard. That's love. And even though you're suffering through it, when you leave, you're healed. Because you became Jesus Christ, the healer for her. And as a result of that, God can heal you. How countercultural that is, huh? Try it. We think when we're egotistic, that's going to solve our problem. It makes our problem worse. It exacerbates our problems. Okay. And the last means of healing. For 5 years, I gave 8-day retreats in Oxnard to the Sierras de Maria. Sierra de Maria. And they were servants of Mary. You know what they do? They stay at the bedside of people that are dying. What a beautiful character. To help people to die in God's sanctuary. So I gave them 5 8-day retreats about 15 years ago, year after year. kept going out and said, well, I can't go anymore. Too much work, I can't do this now. You know the title of the Virgin Mary to them? And it says in Latin, Salus Infirmorum, Our Lady, Health of the Sick. Now some of you have heard of St. Therese, right? Some of you have even read her life. It's interesting because after her death, miracles came. But in her life, there's only one recorded miracle. And you know what it was? She was very sick. Almost dying. And she turned to Mary. There was a statue of Mary. And she looked at Mary. And she prayed to Mary. And Mary smiled. And her sickness was healed. Mary helped her to sick. She only recorded the miracle of her life during her life. It was Mary that healed her. Now, that, not only does Mary want to pray for a physical healing, but our spiritual healing. What are the Marian sanctuaries called by John Paul II? Guadalupe. You know? I'll tell you. Spiritual clinic. That's where she's called. Our Lady Guadalupe, Lourdes, Fatima, our spiritual clinic. Where you have long lines of people here waiting to go to confession. I was in the Basilica of Our Lady Guadalupe many years ago. And the rector asked me, would you like to hear some confessions? So I was there about, I was there I think 8 or 9 hours. I couldn't even get up and go to the bathroom, right? And then I had to get out because they were closing the doors to the Basilica. When I started, my line was like this. When I was about to leave, my line was like this. So it got longer and longer and longer as the hours transpired. So what's the point? Mary is the mother of the church. The new title, the new mass are going to be celebrated the Monday right after Pentecost. Mary is the mother of the church. But also Mary draws us to Jesus Christ present in the sacrament, which are the Eucharist and confession. So today, all of us have to humbly admit that we are sick. The good news is there's a doctor in heaven. His name is Dr. Jesus Christ. Amen.